following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Daily Gazette Company presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Daily Gazette sports editor, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Kesey, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York. We have another great show for you. It's Travers Weekend here at Saratoga Racecourse, and Mike McAdam will be here to talk about that. It is at the track with Max Sabin. We'll look back also at last week's Alabama, and obviously look ahead to big Travers Stakes race on Saturday. And then Tony Macy, the new Union College women's head hockey coach, who was named to that position on July 31st. It was a press conference held on Tuesday to introduce Tony, and I spoke with Tony after the press conference for the podcast, and he'll give some insight into what it's been like since he was named the head coach on July 31st. Of course, it's been a whirlwind for him. Getting settled in here to the Capital Region and recruiting. So we'll talk about that and what his philosophies are as he takes over the Garnet Chargers. So coming up, it'll be Mike McAdam with his At the Track segment. But as we head into the break, we're going to remember Greg Kinn, the rocker from the 1980s who passed away last week at the age of 75. Had a couple of big hits in the 1980s. His second hit was Jeopardy. And this one, the number one, his first hit, the breakup song. Rest in peace, Greg. Is your premier source of horse racing news and events from the daily newspaper of Saratoga Racecourse, the Daily Gazette. At the Track features racing tips, feature stories, picks by Matt Donato, Gene Kirshner, Jeff Carl, and Nyra Betts. You will also get Mike McAdam's takes on the races. There are direct links to Nyra Betts. You can find At the Track online at dailygazette.com/category/at the track. Want to get all the latest news from the Daily Gazette on your phone or tablet? We have an app for that. The Daily Gazette app allows you to read all the newspaper stories and columns from our dedicated team of journalists. The app is free. You can download the app from the Apple or Google App Stores.
Hi, this is Union College hockey alum Adam Przyznik. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Shaw.
Welcome back to the podcast, and it's Travers Week at Saratoga Racecourse, and Mike McAdam is gracious enough to be visiting us in the Parting Shots podcast studio as we tape our segment here at the track with Mac. Mac, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
I appreciate it.
I don't mind the chance to not be at the track today. I mean, basically have a mountain of advanced stuff to do this week, and the card is pretty light. So
yeah, understandable. So it is Travers Week, as I mentioned, and we've got an intriguing angle of Philly Torpedo Anna in the field. But before we get to that, it's going to be difficult to top the last second tension of the head bobbing finish last week in the Alabama between Power Squeeze and Candide. It's likely going will go down as the most dramatic finish in the big race of the meet. I watched that. That was very exciting.
Yeah, and I watched it about half a dozen more times this morning just to get my head straight on what exactly happened. I mean, it was, first of all, Frank Miramati, the track announcer, made a great call. Absolute ding-dong battle. Too close to call! And it was. I was standing, my usual perch in the winner's circle at ground level, which is probably about 20 or 30 feet up the track before the finish line. I had no idea who won this thing. And they swapped leads at least a half a dozen times inside the 16th pole, including three headbanging head bobs right before the wire, where one was in front, then the other, and they just kind of swapped leads three times. If that race, and I noted this in my story, if that race had been 2 feet shorter or 2 feet longer, Candied gets the win over Power Squeeze because she was leading just before the wire and just after the wire, but not at the wire. Yeah. So it was a big win for Power Squeeze. I will note that one of our handicappers, Gene Kirshner, actually picked Power Squeeze in the Alabama, so it was kind of a little hat tip to him there. So the race was missing Torpedo Anna because obviously she's pointing to the Travers instead. But, you know, the eight horses that were in the field really put on a show. You can go all the way back. Candied and Power Squeeze were in sixth and seventh place heading into the turn. So they were way in the back of the field. Candied made a move coming off the turn. Then there was this chain reaction between a long shot front runner, Chitalis, banged into Miss Justify.
Yeah, I noticed there was a lot of bumping there as they came around.
There was some paint being swapped there. And, you know, you could even go back and point to that for the reason Candied might not have won, because if that doesn't happen, she kind of lost her hind end action a little bit and threw it just off stride just a teeny tiny bit, and then she winds up losing by, you know, a small head at the wire. So, I mean, you could, you know, nobody was complaining about it afterwards, but it's one of those things where you kind of look back at a race and say, if this didn't happen, she probably wins. Yeah. So there's a lot going on there. The night of the race, when I'm writing my recap, I probably looked at the replay at least a half a dozen times just to make sure I got the whole sequence correct and what happened where and what it looked like at the finish line. But for a big race like that to come down to a finish like that, it doesn't really get any better.
Yeah. Well, beyond the hubbub of the 155th Travers and Torpedo Anna, the weekend is typically loaded with all-star lineups and other stakes on Friday and Saturday. What else is on tap?
Thursday, we've got the Boston Spa, which is, another Chad Brown production. He's won it seven times since 2012 and five out of the last seven, and it's a five-horse field scheduled for the turf. The weather's supposed to be spectacular all week, so I'm not expecting the Boston Spa to be on the main track. So he's got four of the five entered in the field that's entered for the turf, so don't be surprised if he wins it, his sixth one in the last 8 years. Friday, the Personal Ensign is one of my personal favorite races to watch because it always draws like the best older dirt fillies and mares in the country. And in this case, you know, maybe we will see something to equal the Alabama, because this is a huge rematch between Idiomatic and Randomized. Randomized front-running filly for Chad Brown. Beat Idiomatic, last year's Eclipse Award champion, by a head in the Ogden Phipps on Belmont Stakes Day on June 8th. Since then, Randomized has not run. And Idiomatic won the Molly Pitcher at Monmouth Park by a head. So it'll be kind of cool to see those two going at it again in the Personal Ensign. Then you fast forward to Saturday, where the undercard is typically solid for a Travers Day, starting with the Sword Dancer on the turf. That's an interesting matchup between two Godolphin horses, Silver Knot and Measured Time. Last time we saw Silver Knot was in the Bowling Green, and all he did was set a track record on July 28th. Measured Time, the other Godolphin horse in there, won the Manhattan on Belmont Stakes Day. So that'll be another very nice matchup. Ballerina, sprint for older fillies and mares. Vava is even money, so she gets a chance to kind of solidify her status as the best female sprinter in the country. In the forego, we've got Mulligan, who's 8-5. He's won three straight, including the John Nayrud. And then the Alan Jerkins is always one of the best races on Travers Day. That's the other three-year-old race, and it's 7 furlongs, so it's kind of more of a sprint type of field. To give you an idea of how wide open the Alan Jerkins is this year, the favorite, the rightful favorite, Bookham Dano, who won the Woody Stevens on Belmont Stakes Day, he's the favorite, but he's 7-2. Mm-hmm. So you don't really see that high of a price on a morning line favorite, and it just indicates how crazy wide open the Alan Jerkins is.
Yeah. Well, the $1.25 million Travers is the highlight of any Saratoga meet, but this year we're privileged with an opportunity to watch a super filly make a rare appearance in the race. How will the usual Travers spectacle be different this year, and does Torpedo Anna have a chance to win this?
She does very much have a chance to win it. One thing we're going to see that's different, Kenny McPeak, the trainer, when he announced this 4 weeks ago that she was going to bypass the Alabama and run in the Travers instead. Encourage everybody to wear pink. I think we talked about this back then. It's kind of a signature move that everybody does on Whitney Day, because Mary Lou Whitney, was all about the pink. And so with a filly running in the Travers, probably going to see a lot of like girl power signs and things like that, the people wearing pink sort of in support of the filly. I will say that so no filly has run in the Travers since 2018, when Wonder Godot came in last place in a 10-horse field. And she was in that race. She had already run against males in what was then the Queen's Plate. Of course, now it's the King's Plate, which is the big three-year-old race. It's kind of the equivalent of the Kentucky Derby in Canada. And it's not unusual for fillies to run in Canada against males. It's very unusual in the United States for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is, sometimes they're not physically mature enough to take the banging and the pounding of these, roughhousing guys. The other thing is, there is a circuit of races, including the Alabama, that is restricted to Philly. So they kind of have their own division that they can follow in their own schedule and calendar. But this time, Kenny McPeak had considered running her. She's so good. It's won the Kentucky Oaks, Acorn, and Coaching Club American Oaks in sequence for the last three starts. They're all grade ones, and she's won them by a combined 14 and whatever lengths. So it was time to start looking at outside the box a little bit. I mean, they could win Horse of the Year with her. If she pulls out a Travers win, she may have just locked it up. But in the meantime, you ask, can she win it? Yes, she can, just because of her pure talent, which got her in the race. But that said, it's, she's up against a pretty tough roster of a good three-year-old males.
Well, you mentioned Mary Lou Whitney. Unfortunately, we had tragic news on Monday that her husband, John Hendrickson, passed away suddenly on Monday. Your thoughts about John, what he meant to the Mary Lou and what he meant to Saratoga?
Well, he was devoted to her despite a pretty wide age difference. The two of them were very, very devoted to helping backstretch workers and really advocated for a lot of causes that helps them. As far as the museum goes, John's baby was this immersive theater in the round exhibit that they put together a couple years ago. It's a 16-minute kind of video thing it's a theater in the round, so all the walls in the circle have something going on at some point or other, and it's like the journey to the Hall of Fame, so it kind of traces how some of the Hall of Famers got there. But that was an upgrade that he really meant a lot to him, and I recommend, if you go to the museum, you got to check it out. It's 16 minutes, is well worth your time. Sad, good guy, accessible, good with the media, did a lot for the museum, carried on the Mary Lou Whitney silks, where there's still a couple horses running in her Eaton blue and brown silks. So he kind of I don't know how much he maintained the breeding operation, but there still are some Whitney stable horses out there. So
yeah, back in 2019 when Mary Lou was inducted to the Hall of Fame as a pillar of the turf, a month after she died, John left a pink rose in the seat next to him before he went out to give the speech.
Remember, yeah, what was that like? Pretty poignant moment. I was there, and so she had like a breed of roses that were some special hue of pink, and it was named after her. And so he brought one into the Hall of Fame ceremony when she's the pillars of the turf are like people who have been lifelong contributors to the sport and in making it better, not necessarily a trainer or jockey or anything like that. It could be anybody, and just people who made outstanding contributions to the sport. So she got inducted in that category, and he went up and made the speech and just kind of put one of those roses on the chair next to him. It's kind of was like the perfect statement about what Mary Lou was all about.
Let's close this on, are you ready to give your pick for the Travers?
I am not, for two reasons. One, you got to pick up the Gazette on Saturday to get it. And two, I have no idea who I'm picking on top. It really is, a reflection of how close the top four are, at least. I was trying to guess what the morning line would be before it came out, and I actually had Torpedo Anna on top. I will say this. I'm not picking her. Nothing against her. She can win it, but I'm going to go in a different direction. So I kind of thought she would be picked on top by the morning line. based on the fact that the line isn't trying to predict the order of the race. It's trying to predict how the bettors are going to behave. And I think Torpedo Ann is going to get a ton of bets, like people just making token $2 bet, you know, win bets on her, even though it's not going to pay a lot. Just kind of have a memento from this really cool Travers we have this year. But the favorite is Dornock, and rightfully so. I mean, he won the Belmont and the Haskell. He's the leader in the male three-year-old division by a little bit over Fierceness, who is co-second choice at 3-1 with Torpedo Anna. And then you have Sierra Leone, which nobody can figure out, this horse. He's 7-2, fourth choice. He keeps coming close in the big ones. He's danced all the big dances, and he just can't quite get there. Part of that is because he's a late closer, and he needs a kind of a fast-paced setup in front of him to set up his late run. And with that in mind, Chad Brown trains him, but also trains Unmatched Wisdom, who won the Curlin here, and he's a total front runner, and probably could help his stablemate out a little bit if he, you know, kind of ensures a fast pace on the front. So I don't know who I'm picking yet, but I'm not picking the filly. That's the only thing I will reveal at this time.
Speaking of filly, is Jason Worth going to be there?
Hell yeah. I saw him the other day. He was here Saturday when he owns 10% of Dornock. And in fact, we went over to talk to Danny Gargan after the horse breezed on Saturday, and Jason had rolled up in his golf cart and was there shooting the breeze with one of his hunting dogs with Danny Gargan for a couple minutes and then took off. So he will be there, and easy to spot too, because he's a head taller than everybody else.
And his hair, and the hair too.
Yeah.
The beard.
Looks like a country singer with the hat and the beard and the long hair.
You mean, it's amazing to me, because when he came to the Phillies, he was clean shaven, the hair wasn't long, and it just
not grew. Anymore.
No, not anymore. That'd be great if I get a chance to interview him. I don't know what he's like to interview, but
that would be. Well, I will say that he's a very willing interview after the horse wins. He's very enthusiastic. He's great for the game. The reason he got in, he doesn't know anything about horse racing, really, but he saw it as an avenue to kind of keep his competitive fire going after he retired from baseball, and certainly winning races like that is going to certainly get your juice going. Yeah.
Well, Mike, appreciate a few minutes, and of course, you can follow Mike's coverage online at dailygazette.com, on X, formerly Twitter, at Mike_McAdam. And, of course, Will Springstead will also be there on Saturday, help you with the coverage. So pick up the Daily Gazette on Sunday, and you can find out what happened at the race and all the other races. So, Mac, appreciate a few minutes.
Thanks a lot, Ken.
All right.
Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, that's Mike McAdam. And as we go to break, we'll have coming up next, we'll have an interview with the new Union Hockey women's head coach, Tony Macy. And as we go to break, we're going to remember Jack Russell, founder of the rock group Great White, who died last week at the age of 63. Here is Once Bitten, Twice Shy.
Hi, I'm Rick Marshall from the Daily Gazette's Marshall Arts Podcast. In each episode, I interview artists from around the region, from musicians and comedians to dancers, sculptors, even video game designers. After you finish the latest episode of the Parting Shots Podcast, I hope you'll give martial arts a try.
Hey, everybody, this is Freddie Coleman of ESPN Radio's Freddie and Harry, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Shy.
Welcome back to the podcast. The Union College women's hockey team has a new head coach, and he's Tony Macy, and he's here to join me now on the podcast. Tony, thanks for joining me, and welcome to the podcast, and welcome to Schenectady and Union.
Well, thanks, Ken, and you know, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's helped get me here, including my family, my wife and kids. It's been a bit of a quick process, quick turnaround, and really excited for the opportunity.
Yeah, talk about the quick process, because you know, July 31st, you're named coach. It was, you know, a few weeks earlier that Josh Skiba announced he was stepping down to join the PWHL team in New York. Joining his former boss at Colgate there, who's the head coach at PWHL. So you're getting ready for another Clarkson season. All of a sudden, this opportunity this late in the process opens up. So what were your thoughts, and why did you go after the job?
Yeah, so to start, my wife is a state trooper, so she's here in New York, so I'm kind of bound a little bit to the New York state. So with that, there's only a few job opportunities that are opening up. With this year, we had two with Colgate and Union. So being able to put in for a job in New York State was really big for me. And then have the opportunity to come here to Union. One, I've known Josh Algie for a long time, so that was a good comfort level there. He was able to kind of walk me through a lot of things. And also, you know, Jim did a great job of going through like what's to come and the new rink and scholarships and all those types of things that are going to be in the horizon here. So for me, it was a quick turnaround, but it was, you know, again, meeting the right people here, seeing how good the people are here. I'm a big people person, so that was huge for me. And I think it's been quick, but it's been really good.
What has life been like since you got hired? Because have you had a chance to find a place to live, or you've been out on the road recruiting? Is that what has life been like?
Yeah, so I've been on the road recruiting a little bit, doing a lot of Zooms, a lot of different phone calls with people, trying to get to know the players that we currently have, the recruits that you know, are verbally committed as well, and then trying to find a place to stay. My brother-in-law actually lives up in Burn Hills, so I'll be staying up there with them for a bit. My daughter's starting pre-K, so we're gonna keep them up there for 1 year until my wife can transfer down this way.
What do you see in this program? Obviously, you come from a program that's won national championships at Clarkson. The Union program has, since going D1 over about 20 years ago, has struggled to try to even get a winning record. I mean, they've had some success, but you know, it seems like the last couple years especially, they get some signature wins and then they can't win again. So what do you see in this program? What do you got to do to turn around and bring a winning culture to the women's program?
Yeah, I think, again, you bring up the word culture. I think that's, you know, one of the big words nowadays is making sure you set your culture. So for us, it's going to be starting with hard work. And, you know, after that, then we're going to work on skill development a ton. I'm a big believer in skill development. I did it in the NHL all the way down to, you know, youth hockey. So for me, that's a huge piece that you can get to really elevate your players, elevate your team. We'll implement some new type of systems. We want to play fast. We want to play with skill. So that's another thing that we're going to try to do as well.
Where were you in the NHL?
I was helping out with the Red Wings, their organization, Carolina, and then with their AHL teams as well.
Okay. Obviously, this league is very competitive. There's a lot of great teams like Clarkson you come through. Can you see Union getting to that level, especially with, you know, getting scholarships and the new rink? I mean, how important is that for you to recruit to these players here? Where this is what's is coming. This is what we're going to get. And how does that help?
Yeah. So academically, I think that recruits itself. You know, we're really do well here academically. So for us, you know, having that new rink, having the facility there where you have everything in one building, that's a big deal. It definitely helps recruiting wise, especially when it comes to when you're looking at other buildings that you're trying to recruit against, you know, top 10 teams that already have those things established. So for us, getting that is going to be enormous. And then, you know, the scholarships also help us a ton as well, because now you're taking that burden a little bit away from maybe some kids that you can't recruit because they can't afford it.
Yeah. What was it like to coach with Matt Drozier, who was the head coach of Clarkson? I mean, how much of an influence and what did you learn from him?
Oh, I've learned so much from him. So Matt was actually a teammate of mine at St. Lawrence. So he was a senior, I was a freshman. So I've known him for, oh gosh, 24 years now it is. Makes me seem really old. But, you know, he's been great with me. He allowed me to do things. He allowed me to grow as a coach. I learned a ton from him, both on the ice and off the ice, you know, how to handle things, how to have tough conversations, those types of things. So not only is he a friend, but he's a really good colleague.
I exchanged emails with Matt recently, and I asked him what kind of coach is Union getting in you. And he goes, Union is getting a coach that is going to work hard to build their program to whatever vision he has for them. Tony is a guy that is not afraid to put the time into his players to help them grow and develop. as hockey players and as people. He is reliable and someone that will stop whatever he is doing to help someone in need. He will have his team playing a style of hockey that is tough to play against because he will make sure they are working hard and getting the most from each of their teammates. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, he's not wrong. You know, that's part of what we did as a group there, he and I. That's why I think we worked well together, why we had really good success. And, you know, it was a tough decision for sure. And I had some talks with him about it. And, you know, I think that, one, they're going to be just fine. Mm-hmm. But for here, I think it's definitely going to be steps in the right direction. You know, I'm ready to have fun with it. I think that, hopefully my passion comes through. I'm a very caring person, but also very much like winning. So that's what we're going to try and do.
Assistant coaches, I noticed on the website Olivia Soares is no longer here. Chris Cardito's here. So what's the situation there?
Yeah, so Olivia's gone and taken another position at Duluth. So she had a good opportunity there to move up in the ranks and, you know, move back to the WCHA where she was, you know, formerly a player. For the staff itself, we're still evaluating right now. It's a quick evaluation time to go through things, but that's where we're at right now.
You mentioned St. Lawrence. Obviously, you play here against Union and yeah. Mesa Rink. What are your memories of playing here now, this being the last season of Mesa?
Yeah, so for me, I think one of the biggest things I remember is everybody stomping on those wood bleachers when they're trying to get things going. You know, we had some good battles when I was here. They were always tough games. I feel like the rink was always smaller. I don't know if it actually is. I'll have to go walk it out, but it for sure felt smaller when we played here.
What was it like playing for Joe Marsh?
Oh, Joe's an iconic coach. You know, again, somebody who just cares about his players, has had a lot of success with that. And, you know, I learned a lot from Joe.
Tony, appreciate a few minutes, and good luck. We'll be talking during the season.
Perfect. Thanks, Ed.
That's Tony Macy. I'll be back to wrap up the podcast and have the latest winner in the Daily Gazette's auto racing contest in just a moment.
You guys just didn't want it bad enough. That should have been an easy win. What were you doing out there? You gotta hustle. You could have made that play if you'd been open.
On the car ride home after the game, when you think you're helping by telling me what I did wrong and what I need to work on, all I hear is that I'm not good enough, that I'm supposed to be perfect, that it's not okay to lose. On the car ride home, all I need to hear is how much you love me and enjoy watching me play, that my worth isn't determined by my performance, that even on my worst day, I am worthy, that you see me learning, growing, and doing my best, and that is enough.
This message presented by NISFA and the New York State Athletic Administrators Association.
Hi, this is Daily Gazette reporter Tyler A. McNeil. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott.
Back to wrap up the podcast. The Week 24 winner in the Daily Gazette's auto racing contest was Mike Walker of Rotterdam with 35 points. Mike wins a $50 gift card. Congratulations, Mike. The VIP winner was me. I had 30 points. I got lucky again. How about that? I'll announce the auto racing contest winner's name, and that winner's name will appear in Saturday's Daily Gazette. To play, go to dailygazette.com and click on the auto racing contest banner. The Daily Gazette's You Pick'em Football Contest is back. Pick the winners of the weekly pro football games and have a chance to win a $100 Hannaford gift card. To play, go to dailygazetteprofootball.youpick'em.net. We're going to debut a new segment next week on the podcast. Adam Schinder will talk area college football. He'll dive into the Union and New Albany football teams. New Albany opens its season next Saturday against LIU. Just because COVID-19 mandates are easing, that does not mean you should relax. Be vigilant. If you have not gotten vaccinated or received a booster shot, please do so. Do it for yourself, do it for your family, and do it for your friends. That wraps up another edition of the Parting Shots podcast. I want to thank Mike McAdam and Tony Macy for coming on the show. If you have questions or comments about the podcast, email them to me at shot, that's S-C-H-O-T-T, at dailygazette.com. Follow me on X and Threads at Slapshots. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Daily Gazette Company. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Daily Gazette Company. I'm Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good sports, and we close with a tribute to the master of the Hollywood Squares, Peter Marshall, who passed away last week at the age of 98. Marshall hosted the Hollywood Squares from 1966 to 1981. He has a connection to sports. His son, Pete LeCocq, played Major League Baseball from 1972 to 1980. We close with the Hollywood Squares theme song. Rest in peace, Peter, and I'll take Paul Lindblad.